My friends, today we celebrate the great feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord and the Sacred Host. It's the greatest gift that God has given us. When you love someone, you can give them many things, material things, this and that's nice. But real love is when you give yourself totally to someone. And the greatest gift that our Lord has given us is His body, blood, soul, and divinity, once again, in the Eucharist. He gives us Himself totally. And it's amazing that the night that He did give us this great gift over 2,000 years ago was the night that He was betrayed. What a lesson that our Lord gives us and shows us, especially His meekness, is that how does He respond when He is betrayed? He responds in total love, and He gives more and more. Our Lord, when He gave us the Eucharist and the Holy Sacrifice and the Mass, He knew what was ahead, of course. He knew that when He gave us this great sacrament, how He would be terribly abused and desecrated many, many times throughout history in the Eucharist. We see this constantly when it happened. People have no respect. The outrage is a sacrilege. Our Lady Fatima warns us about this. The angel, when he came, he taught the children the prayer to make reparation for the outrages towards Christ and Our Lady, and especially in the Eucharist. And so, my friends, I hope we reflect much on the Eucharist and thank our Lord, have such a great spirit of thanksgiving that our Lord would give this great gift to us. So many people, you know, as you hear them say, oh, I wish I was alive when Christ was alive. Well, He is alive, and He's here for us. He's waiting for us, constantly calling us. Our Lord, one of my favorite scriptures, He tells us, come to Me, all those who are heavy burdened, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light, and I will give your soul rest. And so our Lord's telling us to come to Him in the Eucharist, that He's a prisoner in the tabernacles, in all our churches throughout the world, and He's waiting for us to come to Him. Instead of, what's the first thing that happens when something goes wrong in your life? I hope you turn to God. And if not, that's what we have to do. Before we do all things, turn to God. Don't get on the telephone and call your friend and start complaining and crying. Go cry to our Lord. That's what He's calling us, to come to Him. Especially, once again, in the Blessed Sacrament. People think that the days of miracles are done away with. It was only when our Lord walked the earth and some of the great saints. But the greatest miracle is the Eucharist. It is. And He just wants us to come and try to make a commitment maybe today that at least once a week you could try to go into a church and sit there with our Lord. You don't have to say anything. You just have to be with Him. When you love someone, you spend time with them. And so I recommend that we do this. In order to have great devotion to the Eucharist, my friends, we need to have great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because the Eucharist is His body, blood, soul, and divinity. Where did He get His flesh and His blood? He received His flesh and His blood in the Incarnation when He took flesh in the Blessed Virgin's womb. And so she is so connected to the Eucharist. And so the more we're devoted to Our Lady, the more we'll be devoted to Christ in the Holy Eucharist. She will teach us how to truly worship God in the Eucharist. One of my favorite stories, I remember St. Julian Emard, Father Rodriguez mentioned him the other day. He has a 9 volumes on the Eucharist. He's the greatest Eucharistic saint. And he tells a true story in the Lord's. And in the Lord's, many of the miracles, of course, are done through the miraculous waters in the baths. But many of the miracles happen every day, too, at the Eucharistic procession. They have a Eucharistic procession every day in Lourdes from day one. And during those processions, many miracles have happened over the years that are documented. And one that was really amazing was a little boy. He was around, I think he was 9 years old. He was a cripple. And there was a cardinal, I forget the cardinal's name. And so he's walking with the monstrance in the procession, and he sees a little crippled boy, and he blesses him with the monstrance. Started to go forward, and the boy pulled on his coat like this. The cardinal was shocked at turning because he's being pulled, and the little boy on his crutches, he points to the Eucharist, our Lord. He says, "Jesus, if you don't heal me now, I'm going to tell your mother on you." Guess what happened? The crutches were thrown away. And that boy was healed, and he became a Jesuit priest. And so, my friend, the Eucharist is so, so powerful. As a priest, one of the privileges a priest has, and it's a privilege to go to someone's deathbed. And so, when we bring the Eucharist, it's called, you know, Holy Viaticum. And you want to pray, my friends, all of you, real quick, that you should do 3 Hail Marys a day to the Blessed Virgin, that when that hour comes, that moment, it's the most important moment in your whole life. I don't care if you live to be 120, the most important moment is that moment when you're ready to cross over into eternity. If you're in grace, everything is one. If you're not, you're lost for eternity. And so, when the priest comes to, and he comes to anoint someone who's dying, we bring our Lord, and we bring our Lord. Why? You know, because it's called Holy Viaticum. It's to help strengthen you so that you can make your final crossing. And so many times, even good people that live pretty holy lives can be attacked on their deathbed. And this is why you want to pray that you'll be anointed. And once you anoint these people, and you absolve them, and then when you come to the Holy Communion, you see the peace that comes over the soul. It's just beautiful. So our Lord, He promised, "I will be with you till the end of time." He fulfills His promise. He's sitting there waiting for you. He's there to help you at the moment of your death. Pray for that gift, because you can lose your soul, God forbid, if you're not in a state of grace at the moment of death. It's very, very important. So we want to be attached to the Eucharist. We want to pray that we will receive Holy Viaticum. I'll tell you a beautiful story. I was called one day many years ago. It was a blizzard outside. I was at my sister's house in New York, and this friend of mine called. And he says his partner, who's a New York City police officer, his son was dying. He was 3 years old. And so they said, "Can you come and anoint the baby?" I said, "You don't anoint a baby because he has no sin." You know, was he baptized? Yes. And so what happened, this baby had some rare disease that he never grew. It was only this big. And I never forget, so we're driving in this blizzard, and it was bad. It took us a while to get to it. So we go into the house, walk down the stairs, and it was one of the saddest things I've ever seen. This man was bigger than me, and he's in this big crib holding his little baby, weeping. The baby's been in a coma for like 2 weeks already. He's not moving. And this big, tough New York City cop crying. It was horrible. And so I talked to him. So what happened was, first thing I did was confirm him. I said, "What name do you want to give him?" "Anthony." So he was confirmed. His confirmation name was Anthony. And then I said to the mother, she was a nurse, I said, "What would happen if I put a drop of water on his tongue?" She goes, "He's so dehydrated, it would absorb." So I tried. I said, "You mind if I do something?" So I put a drop and just that. I said, "All right, I'm going to offer the Holy Sacrifice in a Mass for your son." And so I'm getting vested, and they said to me, "Father, we know he's going to die, but if he could just look at us one more time, open up his eyes, that'd be the greatest gift. That's all we want." I said, "Will you pray for Our Lady, and she'll give it to you?" And so I had the Holy Sacrifice in the Mass, and I had to give him precious blood, because he never received the Eucharist. In the Eastern Rite, you receive the Eucharist at your baptism, which I think is a good thing. But I wanted him to have the highest place in heaven he could get, so I said, "I'm going to give him the precious blood." And so when I went over there to give him the precious blood, I put a drop on his tongue. It was unbelievable. This boy lit up. His eyes opened up. Mother and father were there. He had the biggest smile. He was radiating. And he just looked at them, and, you know, they were weeping. And this went on for a couple of minutes. And then he closed his eyes, and he ended up dying a couple of days later. So, my friends, the Eucharist is real. In is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That little boy now is in heaven with his Lord. Let us pray that everyone will come to know our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord is clear today in the Gospel that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you will not have eternal life. He means it. What about the Jews? What about the Muslims? What about the Protestants? They don't receive body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. They're not going to have eternal life. So we have to pray. We shouldn't rest until we pray for the conversion of everyone. Everyone. And we got to pray, too, for our leaders in the church. We have to pray. And like I said, I encourage people to go to the traditional Mass too. It's a Mass where our Lord is truly reverenced in the proper way. The true sacrifice of the Mass. Let us pray for this. Let us pray for Our Lady that we once again will know our Lord intimately in the Blessed Sacrament. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.